And as the race draws to a close, we interview the surprise winner who has become Conservative leader, despite having not been nominated at all. His name is...
Me, Brian Perkins. I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you Radio 4. Yes, there were two other candidates who tried to cross me, but I did them. I snapped Ian Duncan Smith like a dry twig. As for that Dago-loving lard-boy Fatty Clark, well, I just locked him in the back of a lorry at Dover for 3 weeks. I'm not going to tell you what happened, but when you next see Kenneth Clark in Casualty having his stomach pumped, just shout out, "Who ate all the asylum seekers?" BBC Radio Perkins. You don't win, you survive.
Hello, and welcome to In Our Time with me, Lord Smartypants of Cleverland. Today we'll be attempting to discover who is the cleverest clever clogs on Radio 4. Robert Robinson?
Ah, yes, indeed. Guff and Bluster, yes. And it is my duty, nay, my pleasure, to inform you, sir, that it is I, Lord Britain of Brain, who have the answers to everything. And so, with no more ado or guff, or indeed bluster, I declare Robert Robinson the learned victor.
Now, I want to bring in David Starkey. Who is the cleverest?
Oh, come on. You don't seriously expect an answer to that, do you? I am both clever and quite agonisingly pompous. Isn't that the case?
Jemaine Greer, you're a bit of a know-all.
I don't know why you men are so concerned about measuring cleverness as if it was some kind of phallic symbol. It's utterly puerile, but when it comes to being clever, I've got 9 inches, OK?
And finally, David Beckham.
Well, it's a no.
Hardly surprising.
Because as I was telling Victoria the other night, the whole notion of intelligence is a manifold construct and can't be assessed independently of our own subjective personal and cultural prejudices. I'd take a relativistic approach and assess intelligence in relation to the expectations within particular social parameters, really.
So, David Beckham is the cleverest. Next week we'll be discussing my hair and its influence on postmodern political dandruff.
Welcome back to So, Graham Norton! Now, my first guest is someone that everyone wanted to speak to, but he's here exclusively with us. Yes, it's Brian from Big Brother!
Oh, hello, hello, it's so lovely to meet you, Graham! Oh, it's so lovely to meet you on your wonderful show, it is!
Oh, hello, hello, isn't he lovely? Now, the question on everybody's lips, Brian, is, why do you speak in such a ridiculous manner?
I don't know, Graham, I don't know, I just can't help it. Graham, I really can't, I can't.
Because you'll never make it in showbiz with that strange camp Irish accent.
Oh, I know, it's a terrible handicap. Little demons, it's terrible.
Listen, Brian, has it ever occurred to you that you have ripped off my personality?
Well, Graham, let's see what everybody else thinks. Stand up if you think I've stolen Graham's personality.
Look, Graham, everybody's standing up. All hail the new Graham Norton.
Brian, what's going on?
Go away before Uncle Brian gets angry. Right, join me after the break when I'll be phoning a transsexual dominatrix who likes piddling on black puddings with a delectable Bridget Bardot on So, Brian from Big Brother. Goodbye, goodbye, little demons, goodbye.
New from BBC Enterprises, a series of tapes Martin Jarvis fans can keep and treasure forever.
Pierce lid before placing into preheated oven. Cook at gas mark 7 for 25 minutes.
Yes, Martin Jarvis reads everything in the whole world. Having exhausted every book ever written, Martin Jarvis turns his unique vocal skills to everything else. Volume 9, Martin's classic interpretation of a final demand gas bill.
The bill that we sent you does not appear to have been paid. Could you please make payment now using the slip below? If you prefer, you can pay by monthly payment plan. If you have paid recently, please accept our apologies for having troubled you.
Volume 83, Martin's much-loved Signs in a BBC Corridor.
Emergency exit. Committee room 7. Disabled toilet. Fire door keeps shut.
Why not collect all 17 million tapes in the collection? Yes, Martin Jarvis reads
everything in the whole world, even the bit Charlotte was supposed to read. Because if anything gets read at the BBC, it's read out by me. Or else.
First there was Big Brother, then there was Survivor. Now the reality show to end them all. Radio 4's Desert Island Discs.
Hello and welcome. My castaway today is Rabbi Lionel Blue.
Good morning, Sue. Good morning, sound engineer. Good morning, me. Good morning, everybody.
Rabbi Lionel Blue, how do you think you'd survive on a desert island?
Sue, I think I'd enjoy some quiet contemplation away from the hurly-burly of modern life.
All right, lads, get him. Let's see if you're right.
Day 9. Despite initial setbacks, the rabbi remains optimistic.
Good morning, narrator. Good morning, coconuts. Good morning, everybody. Yes, well, I've managed to construct a rather rudimentary hut out of the pages of the Old Testament. But I'm a little concerned as I've already eaten 8 of my 10 records, and there's only Handel's Messiah and Chirpy Chirpy Cheep Cheep to go.
Day 34 finds the rabbi in a pensive mood.
Yes, there was that rather unpleasant business last Tuesday with one of the indigenous gorilla population when I began humming Je T'aime. If nothing else, it has certainly brought into sharp focus the folly of always turning the other cheek.
Day 612, and Rabbi Lionel's fragile grip on reality seems to be slipping as he's spending much of his time repeating the same phrase to himself over and over again.
I like blinking, I do. I like blinking. I like blinking, I do.
Hello and welcome to Film 2001 with me, Jonathan Wass. Later, I'll be going stateside for a big-screen version of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Meanwhile, the BBC has announced plans for their own British version of the series. Here's a preview.
So finally, we come face-to-face, vampire and slayer. And what do I find? That you are nothing but a puny female. I have risen from the bowels of Hades so that we can do battle. And you believe you can stop me?
As a matter of fact, yes, I do. The name's Hyacinth Bouquet. Or as I'm known in the underworld, Bouquet the Vampire Slayer. Be warned, demon, I'm going to sprinkle you with this.
Ow! Ow! What was that, holy water?
It's magnolia blossom room fragrance. Consider yourself fortunate. I would have got Fruits of the Forest, but Marks was out and I refused to go to the body shop on principle. Ethical beliefs are all very fine and well, Anita Roddick, but they shouldn't stop you combing your hair of a morning. Right. Well, I'm going to have to take you down now, and you know why.
Because I am pure evil.
No, because you've trodden dirt all over my best Persian shag.
But I am a demon.
Yes, and so am I if I'm forced to break out the Hoover twice on a weekday. Take that!
No!
Hello, and welcome to Any Questions with me, Jonathan Dimbleby. We have a question from Mr. Bland of Dalesville.
Yes, thank you, David.
It's Jonathan.
Jonathan, something bad happened this week. How appalled is the panel?
Ken Clark.
Well, I would like to say that I'm very, very appalled. This bad thing is an outrage against common decency, and I'm going to stop being affable for a minute just to show how appalled I am.
Claire Short, how appalled are you about the bad thing?
Well, frankly, David...
It's Jonathan.
Jonathan, it's just not enough to sit there being appalled, is it? I am not only appalled, but I am absolutely appalled. And Labour are committed to being even more appalled year on year in real terms.
Robin Cook?
Well, I have to say, I'm absolutely disgraceful. It was completely appalling. Absolutely. Going on disgraceful. And even more so, dreadful.
Westminster Council, can I help you?
Yes, I've got something slightly unfortunate to report today.
What is it, sir? Who do you want to speak to?
I want the department that deals with parking tickets.
Parking tickets. Do you have a pen there, sir?
Yes, I have, and it's in my hand.
Right, I'm going to give you a direct line number to ring.
That's very nice. I suppose when I ring it, the other person at the end will tell me all about my parking ticket queries.
Yes, sir.
And on my windscreen, the fellas put a big sticker on.
If you keep calm and let me give you the number.
Thank you very much. You really sorted me out. Because I hope the man comes soon, because I've done my shopping and I had lots of frozen Findus crispy pancakes in the bag. My Ford Capri is blue and there's nothing I can do.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. My body's too bootylicious for you. And now, you and yours.
Hello, I'm John Waite.
And I'm Liz Barclay. We've received a call from a man who claims to have been handed some shoddy goods.
4 years ago, I received the Conservative Party. But it has been nothing but aggravation ever since. It was impossible to steer and kept going into reverse every time I put my foot down.
We discovered that the previous owner had crashed it and had been lucky to stumble from the wreckage.
It wasn't my fault. It was a death trap. It was, in fact, two parties crudely welded together.
We've uncovered another previous owner who admitted turning the clock back.
That's right, to the late 19th century. You know, rickets gets a very bad press, and children like chimneys, they do. So I'm afraid, Mr. Haig, you're stuck with a load of junk that no one in their right mind would take off your hands.
That's what you think. Right, Ken, here's the keys. It's in lovely condition, barely out of the garage.
Well, no way, it's a load of junk.
There's a barrel of Watney's in the boot.
I'll take it.
Hello, and welcome to the Sky at Night. A lot of people ask me, Patrick, they say, why have you been so fascinated with the stars over the past 60 years? Well, the fact of the matter is, I'm not. Not in the slightest. You see, 50 years ago, the local constables came a-knocking after numerous complaints from my neighbours, and they wanted to know what the dickens I was doing with 50 telescopes in my house. Well, thinking on my feet, of course I told them I was an astronomer. And they bought it. As did the BBC. But the fact of the matter is, the heavenly bodies of Ursa Major and the Perseids bore me rigid. But the heavenly body of Mrs. Mackenzie sunning herself in the garden does it for Patrick every time. So, if, like me, you're currently training your telescope at number 34, we expect an unparalleled view of Mrs. Mackenzie bending over to pick up her washing. However, this may prove disappointing due to a newly built 9-foot wall, so this wonderful sight won't in fact be visible to the naked eye. Bummer.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. I like blinking too. And now, on Radio 4, a programme for all the children who listen. That's the controller's niece and nephew, basically. It's time for Go For It.
Hello, and welcome to Go For It. I'm Matt Smith, ace. Oh, hang on, I feel a silly voice coming on. All of a sudden, my voice is going up and down the scale for no reason whatsoever. because this is the show all about what people at Radio 4 think kids are into. Drugs and nicking cars. Only joking. Yes. It's poetry and book readings. Ace. And now we go to our Ace Kids reporters, who we sent out to meet Brian Sewell.
Do you like EastEnders?
No. EastEnders is a cacophony of parsimonious bleating, bereft whatsoever of any cultural significance, an uneasy compromise of naturalism and absurdism that reeks of ineptitude on every conceivable level.
Do you like chips?
Bugger off.
Go for it, Ace.
Hello.
Hi there, my name's Simon. Is that the plumbers?
It is, yes.
So I guess we could call you, a plumbers, I guess.
Yeah.
I wondered if you might be able to help me. Let's call me Simon. Could you help me out with a mildly inconvenient domestic occurrence, the type of thing that can happen in a lot of homes?
Yeah.
Shall I tell you how it happened?
Well, you can tell me what happened, and I know I can help you.
Okay. Well, there was a damper patch that appeared on the ceiling in my front room, which, in time, just began to get bigger and bigger, and began to stain. And from the wet patch, drips began to appear, and pretty soon those drips became a steady flow, and then a torrent. I'm just telling you what happened.
Yeah, then, I knew what's bloody happening. Come on, who's prattin' about?
I'm telling you in great detail, please.
Well, I don't give a talk about the great detail.
And when Simon tried to talk to the plumber and tell him what had happened,
if you don't stop prattin' about, I'm going to bloody hang up in a minute.
No, don't do that. I've got a lot of money and I'll pay very, very well for...
Don't give a talk about your bloody money.
This job. I think the problem was a burst pipe.
I think the problem was you're prattin' about.
No. The problem was a burst pipe and... When I called the cowboy plumber, the one before you, he didn't return my call, he didn't come around, and I guess you could say I felt disappointed and wet. I'm actually very sad that a lot of the carpet tiles from Allied Carpets had been ruined beyond repair. So if you, what's your name, sir?
No, I just
want
to know who you are.
I'm Simon. Let's call me Simon Bates.
Yeah, I can call you Simon Bates if I like, but... I don't mean that's who you are.
No, it is. I'm Simon Bates, the greatest broadcaster in the history of the quantum verse.
Uh-huh.
And if you come round and fix my burst pipe, then I'll be able in some way to get my life back together, get the bags out of the carriage, hoover the carpet...
And stop being a complete arse, yeah, perhaps.
Right. And now, with the carpet problem sorted out, here's Limmy and the Family cooking, and you can do magic. You're listening to Today It's Time. James Naughty made me another cup of tea. We'll now spend the next 10 minutes telling you how you can contact the Today programme with your comments.
Yes, indeed, John. You can write or telephone Broadcasting House or email us at today.com/, or you can visit our webpage at .w/.com.
Or you can send a fax or phone the letter line.
Or you can send your comment by homing pigeon. Jim Naughty is on the roof of Broadcasting House, standing by with a large net.
For those who prefer more traditional methods of communication, a series of bonfires can be lit on patches of high ground between here and Hastings.
Or, if you prefer to comment anonymously, you can drop a package to Radio 4's secret drop-off. It's the last cistern in the gents' loo at Charing Cross Station.
But to be really safe, please transfer your comment to microfilm and attach it to a sweet wrapping. Go to Hyde Park and approach the ice cream vendor. Order a 99 and recite the secret code.
Desert Island Discs was good today.
Simply drop the wrapping on the ground, count to five, and sing the theme tune to Counterpoint.
And now that you know where to send your comments, you can send us a comment about how we waste so much time telling you how to send in your comments.
I'm scared. This building light gives me the creeps.
Me too, Shaggy. But if we don't lie in wait here inside Conservative Central Office, we'll never find out who's been frightening people away from this old abandoned party.
But, like, I'm a hippie, and what with their hardline stance on cannabis, I don't think they'll be too pleased to find what's hidden under the false floorboards of the mystery machine.
Scooby, Scooby stoned.
Never mind that. Here comes Ian Duncan Smith now.
Soinks! The hairless horseman!
Quick, Shaggy, pull Annette now. Got him! Now all we have to do is remove Duncan Smith's bald head skull cap and his bland, expressionless face mask to reveal that, in fact, the person behind this hideous plot to discredit the Tories is...
Yes, that's right, Velma. It is me. I am still haunting the Conservative Party. I wanted to become Prime Minister last June, and I would have got away with it if it wasn't for those pesky voters.
Now, my next guest is one of our finest comedy actors, Richard Wilson. Now, Richard, I mean, you must be feeling really honoured this week, because Victor Meldrew has the funniest ever catchphrase, according to a Radio Times survey. So, come on, tell us how you feel now on hearing that wonderful news.
I can scarcely credit it.
Really, I mean, and what else?
It defies plausibility.
Anything else?
I don't lend it credence.
Look, Wilson, just say it, will you?
It lacks credibility. I question its veracity. I find it highly improbable.
Yes, Richard, I mean, in the same survey, that bloke from the Fast Show, who says which was nice, managed to come in fifth.
What? I don't believe...
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. Come on, I want to see you shake a tail feather. And now the archers. And there's concern amongst Ambridge residents as a person with a posh voice who isn't Brian Aldridge is spotted in the village.
It's true, I've just spotted a person in the village with a posh voice who isn't Brian Aldridge.
Oh, dear. This can only mean one of two things. Either he's going to sweep someone off their feet in a whirlwind romance that will inevitably end in heartache, or he's going to have some sort of vague financial bad news that will leave one of us penniless.
Oh, I think it's terrible, Jack, all these city types visiting Ambridge talking in a ridiculous, clichéd way.
That's right. They're all just ridiculous caricatures, don't you think, Joe?
Oh, that's right. There ain't no place for ridiculous, stereotypical characters like that here in the village.
Oh, watch out, you two. Here he comes now.
Hello there. I'm a posh person, and I've come here from the city. Now, it's my job to inform you that everyone in the village is bankrupt. That's right, your stocks defoliated when your portfolio failed to de-squish itself, and your levels of interest dipped well below the levels expected over and above the levels you'd been anticipating. Put simply, you're all ruined. Bit of a shame, that.
Oh, dear, well, we'll just take your word for all that, as obviously none of us country folk can understand complex financial talk of that kind. Oh, well, at least on the bright side, it was just financial bad news he was bearing.
By the way, I've also made someone pregnant. I can't stand her anymore, I'm leaving, and I'm going to go and live in a hot country, so you'll never see me again. Bye.
Joe, oh, that's terrible, but who's the unlucky woman?
Oh, no.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers from the Edinburgh Festival. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry and Kevin Connolly. It was written by Tom Jameson and Nev Fountain, John Holmes, Lawrence Hart, Jed Parsons, John Culshaw and Richard Lewis. The producer is Bill Dare.
And there'll be more from the Dead Ringers team next week. Coming up after the news, it's The Archers, where Peggy is shocked to discover...
And now, hold it right there. Give me that script. Haven't you worked it out yet? I do the reading around here. Coming up after the news, it's The Archers, with me, Martin Jarvis, reading all the parts.
Oh, no.